Welcome to the Geek Generation. I am joined today by returning co-host Scott Toomey, who thankfully joined me on very short notice. I think. Hey, what's up? I asked Scott yesterday. I wasn't sure if we were going to have an episode this week. As we mentioned on a show, I believe the last show, I had knee surgery scheduled, so that was done on Tuesday. I've been on the couch most of the week watching Big Bang Theory, and I decided we should probably get something out. Every once in a while, you might get an episode like this that's a little shorter, focused more on the news just because there's so much going on, but it's pretty much all we can give. So we want to keep the fans involved, and this is our way of letting us know that we appreciate you listening by being able to deliver content. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is I just got around to watching Shutter Island, even though it just, or not just came out, it came out last February, but I just got around to it. And the first thing I do whenever I look, I watch a movie that has so many things going on and all these twists happening, is I like to go on IMDb and check out the forums and see what people's discussions are. And the biggest thing, it was a great movie. I'll say that first off. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I found annoying was that the score was very obtrusive.
Yeah, I think that was a... That was actually one of the most common complaints about the movie, I think, is that the score was a little bit, very over the top. and almost actually made some moments in the movie kind of seem a little cheesy almost.
I can totally agree with that. They not only cheesy, but it pulled me out of the movie enough to make me pay that much attention, just the clangs and the bangs that they were throwing into the score there.
Yeah, I mean, even if they maybe brought the actual... imprint volume of the score down a little bit, I think that would have helped a lot, actually. But I see that Scorsese was intentionally trying to go for like a 40s 50s B movie kind of feel,
right?
Almost,
right? And granted that it took place in the 50s, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, and I think he achieved that, absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, it felt like those older style movies, and you're right, if they had toned it down just a little bit, it probably would have been a lot better. Because it did, at times, go from very near silence to, like, all of a sudden, boom, bang, like, out of nowhere, so...
Very, very invading.
Yeah. So, that aside, the movie I thought was really great. Because DiCaprio did an amazing job, as he always has been lately. But as I mentioned, those IMDb discussions, there's this whole debate going on between whether or not Teddy, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, was insane or not. Right. And I'm not even going to go into spoiler alerts here because the movie came out in February. If you haven't seen Shutter Island, then you probably want to stop now or fast forward to later in the episode. But they make it very spelled out blatantly, I thought. They show that Teddy, or actually Andrew, I believe his real name was, Andrew Lidis, is nuts. He did kill his wife after she killed their children. Mm-hmm. And the psychologist makes him realize that their big role play and their big ruse does work. So Andrew knows he most likely is not going to regress.
Yeah.
But even though he thinks that there's still the chance that he might, so he decides to, while he's in his right mind, accept his punishment and pretend that he's reverting back again to his insane personality so that they'll give him, like, the lobotomy and all that.
Right. You know, my fiance, Meg, is, she always... I don't know if it's something that she always does, but she figures out movies very quickly. And within like the first half an hour, she didn't let me know this, of course, but within like the first half hour of the movie, she had already kind of figured everything out.
Right.
And she's one of the believers that he is in fact really insane. I kind of like to keep it open, because I think that the way that the movie was done, the way that certain scenes were done, I think you could make a really good argument for either scenario.
Right. And they were referring to your type as sanists on on the board.
Well, I guess that's what I am. There, and one thing that I never actually I didn't really look into it anymore after I saw the movie, but there was a scene when DiCaprio and Mark Ruffalo are in the cafeteria with that other woman.
Yes.
And I think it's Mark Ruffalo that goes up to get a drink of water.
Yep.
And he comes back, and I don't know if it's a goof or if it was done intentionally, but in one scene he has the cup of water. Yes. and then a split second later he's drinking, but there's no cup in his hand.
Right. The glass that he gives to the woman that she had asked for, when she's pulling it up to her mouth, there's no glass there, but she takes a sip out of a visible glass and then puts it down. That's on purpose.
It was very strange to me. I didn't really, I'd have to go back and watch the movie again, cause I haven't seen it since it came out.
Right.
But, I thought that was really weird. I don't know why that was done. I'm sure there's a logical explanation for it, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
The discussions that were going on are that was almost the first sign of his insanity and like our first clue.
Mm.
And I did enjoy some of the discussions that I was reading. People were saying that if you do go back and watch it, it becomes even more evident that he was probably insane, because you notice how uneasy people are around him throughout the whole movie. Like, they're familiar with him, which means he has in fact been on the island 2 years. However, there are those that argue that this final role play was the end of a 2-year process of breaking him down when he was originally sane and they brought him to the island for that purpose. So there is, you could argue both sides. However, the end argument is that in the Blu-ray commentary, and I believe on the DVD too, Scorsese does say that he was insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the way it was in the book too. Is that he's insane? So, but at the same time, I think they did a really good job at making it. Jeez, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Making the movie in a certain way so that you could have arguments for both sides, basically.
Oh, right, yeah, the fact that we can present either argument and put some sort of evidence behind either one is a strength of how well the movie was put together, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So overall, you liked it as well?
I did. Yeah, I think. I liked it. I don't think it's Scorsese's best work. It's a lot different from the stuff that he normally does. And in that respect, I give him credit for kind of veering off the path that he's made already and trying to do something a little bit different. And I think as one of his, I'm not sure if it's his first foray into like psychological horror. If it is, I think he did a really good job. So
yeah, it did have a very Hitchcock vibe to it all the way through.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's our review of Shutter Island. Very good movie. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I would definitely recommend it. We're going to jump right now into news, just because we are abbreviating this episode. So we have a lot of stuff to get through. First off, big story of the week, I would say, is we saw a first look at Ryan Reynolds in the Green Lantern costume. He'll be on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, whether it's out now or coming out soon.
I think it's this week's issue, actually.
Okay. There's a very large picture of Ryan Reynolds in that computer-generated suit that we knew would be generated. It looks very organic and veiny, and my biggest complaint is, where's the black? And where's the superhero-ness of it? Like, it looks like a living suit.
Yeah.
Whereas
it looks like pure energy, basically.
Right. But it almost looks like it's alive, which is the part that bothers me. Because if the ring really grants the wearer the ability to create anything that they imagine, why would he make something that looks like living muscle tissue instead of clothing?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it looks really cool. I know a lot of people don't really like it. I think my only problem with it is the mask looks kind of off to me.
It does.
It looks, I don't know, it just looks kind of weird. It looks I almost want to say too cat-like. And I think that, but that's, I think that's the only thing that bothers me. But I like the look of it. I like it's like a pure energy kind of look.
Right.
And I dig that a lot. I'm not really too familiar with Green Lantern. As a matter of fact, I just read Green Lantern Rebirth like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the basic ideas behind the character are still fresh in my brain. But I'm not very familiar with the character as a whole, as far as its history is concerned. But I think the look is cool. It's modern. It's updated. I remember somebody did a Photoshop of Ryan Reynolds in like the classic looking Jordan suit, and it looked cool, but at the same time I never thought that they were going to go that basic with it,
right?
Especially from the moment I heard that it was going to be complete CG and it wasn't even going to be a costume of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of figured they were going to give it a pretty futuristic feel. So, and I'd be interested, depending on the kind of story they put together, I'd be interested to see what the other lanterns look like.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I guess it can be said that we haven't seen a full body shot either, so this could just be,
right.
And this could be an early version as well. We see costumes evolve through movies all the time,
yep.
So who knows what version of the suit this is going to be. The one, I still find it odd that movie creators have to take so many liberties with things that are classic. We've seen a lot of different Green Lantern costumes, but the fact that this is like a uniform, I don't know how, I mean, anyone listening to this probably is familiar with Green Lantern in a way, but they're a military corps and they have a standard uniform and they all wear that. So I feel it's breaking that uniform, and I guess that's my biggest issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we still don't know if there's going to be different versions of what he's wearing in the movie, if this is what he's going to look like as the Green Lantern throughout its entirety. So, you know, there's still much to be seen. They did release like 5 or 6 more production photos than the next day. I want to say either last night or this morning.
Yep.
And I really like the picture of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively together.
I agree.
I thought that looked really cool. I thought it had like a real classic look to it.
And you can just barely see him wearing the glowing ring down in the corner.
Yeah. I like that. So we'll see how it goes. I a lot of people that I've talked to are still slightly bothered by the casting of Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan. They don't think he fits the part good enough. A lot of people thought he would be better as a Wally West, which he was attached to, from what I understand, for quite some time when we were working on a Flash
movie. I'm definitely one of the people in those camp.
Yeah, like I said before, I don't know enough about the characters to be able to tell who would be good for what. So, I mean, Superman is my area of expertise.
As we know, yes.
Yeah.
Next piece of news is unfortunately a sad one. American Splendor author Harvey Pekar passed away last week. He was 70 years old. I guess this has been coming for a while. In 1990, he was given a diagnosis of lymphatic cancer. Oh, so this was a long time coming. But anyone who's a fan of comic books, I'm sure, has heard of Harvey Pekar. At one point or another, he did create the American Splendor series, which took things away from the fictional and let us know that comics could be about more grounded, everyday life type things. And while I wasn't very familiar with the series itself, I did enjoy very much the movie that Paul Giamatti was in based on Harvey Pekar's life.
Yeah, somebody, when I worked at Best Buy years ago, moons ago, one of my coworkers recommended that movie to me, and I bought it because that's what I used to do. I was a very impulse DVD buyer when I was working at the store, but I haven't watched it. It's been years, and it's just been sitting on my DVD shelf, so maybe now is as good a time as any to check it out and learn more about this guy who unfortunately isn't with us anymore.
Absolutely, so. And I can't tell you that it's the most uplifting tale of triumph and all that, but it's definitely worth watching. It's a very interesting look at someone who's just a little bit off the rest of the norm, I would say.
Yeah, and you know, and at least I can watch it for Paul Giamatti, because I'm a big Paul Giamatti fan,
and he's absolutely fantastic in it. So
good.
Next piece. This is one that's bothering me even more than the Green Lantern suit. Edward Norton will not be in the Avengers. It was reported. Marvel's claiming there's a whole dispute going on here. Marvel's claiming that he's not a team player. And he won't compliment the other actors and participate the way that he should in the filming of that. Norton himself is claiming that he was on board and it was a monetary issue that separated them. He even went as far as releasing a statement on his official Facebook page, which you can check out on our site. And the new rumor is, speaking of Mark Ruffalo and Shutter Island, is that Mark Ruffalo will be replacing Norton, which I am not so sure about, because I really liked Edward Norton in the role, because Bruce Banner is a fragile, sensitive type of guy. And the very interesting thing about the Hulk and Banner as a character is that he goes from this skinny little twerp to this giant, hulking, unstoppable thing. And I think Mark Ruffalo is a little too bulky and not quite fragile enough in my eyes to be a good Bruce Banner.
Yeah, I could see, as far as physically, I could see where you're coming from. But I'll put myself out there. I'll embarrass myself. I saw the movie 13 Going on 30 with Jennifer Garner, Mark Ruffalo. And if you watch him in that movie, he plays a very sensitive male character, a very quirky character. And I think he can bring a sort of nerdiness slash geekiness to the role that I think is one thing that might have been lacking when both Ed Norton and Eric Bana were playing the character. So, I mean, you lose some qualities, I think you gain others.
Yeah. How do you feel about Marvel's decision to abandon? Like, they've been building up to this movie for so long now, and they've really been pulling us along with that. They're setting it up. We're investing money into this, and we're going on this journey with them. And all of a sudden, they pull out a key player. How do you feel about that?
It's kind of upsets me, to tell you the truth. I mean, it kind of makes me feel like they don't really care about establishing a certain kind of continuity. I mean, I was pretty aggravated when they pulled, I can't think of his name, Terrence Howard. Out of Iron Man and replace him with Don Cheadle. I love Don Cheadle, but I think they should have. You know what? They used them already. Like, if you wanted a higher named actor in the first place, then you should have went out and got him in the first place. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not pumped about the fact that they're replacing him, but we'll see what happens. I guess.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the Incredible Hulk. I knew that there were a lot of behind the scenes problems as far as Ed Norton wanting a more character driven movie put together, and the studio wanted something that was more action based. You know, I guess whatever they feel they need to do, but it still kind of feels like a slap in the face a little bit, because, you know, Incredible Hulk I thought was a really solid movie, and I liked him in the part too.
Yeah, and that seems to be a constant problem that studios are having. And it does always seem to come down to money, which I think when they don't give an actor what they deserve, that's always going to be an issue. And the fans are always going to get ticked off about it. I mean, anytime you change a character midstream in the middle of a franchise, no matter what you do, you're taking away from the whole past and everything that came before it. So because they don't have Norton in the Avengers, you're not going to pull all that history from the Incredible Hulk into it. Mark Ruffalo could do an amazing job.
Yeah.
He might be better than Norton, but it's not going to pull in all that history from the prior movie. That's what we want. And that was the same issue with, like you said, Terrence Howard being replaced in Iron Man 2. It was the same issue with Katie Holmes, even though people complained about her in Batman Begins, when she was replaced in The Dark Knight. Spoiler alert, again, Rachel's death meant nothing in The Dark Knight because it was not the same person in my eyes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think Marvel owes the fans a little more to try and make an effort to keep Norton around, but apparently they've made their decision, and we'll know for sure once it's confirmed at Comic-Con, which everyone is assuming will be the final unveiling of the full Avengers cast. Moving on, X-Men First Class casting news. It's been coming out boom, boom, boom. They have a pretty quick schedule on pace, and they need to get their casting done quick. It looks like Matthew Vaughn's casting a bunch of young unknowns, which I think is a very smart thing to do. I'll go down the list really quick for you, even though you'll probably not recognize a lot of the names. Nicholas Hoult from Clash of the Titans is going to be playing Beast. Caleb Landry Jones from the upcoming movie The Social Network is in the role of Banshee. Lucas Till from Walk the Line is playing Cyclops' brother Havok. Jennifer Lawrence, it was just reported, from Winter's Bone is playing Mystique. Surfer Erica Husseini, I hope I'm saying that right. It hasn't been confirmed that she's in a role, but she did say that she auditioned for the part of Willow, so we know that's a role that they're looking for. And finally, Kevin Bacon is the villain, so that he's the biggest name so far, and yet we don't know which villain exactly he's playing. So I do think it's smart that they're going with a group of unknowns here.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm curious about is why this movie is being called X-Men First Class. I assumed we were really going to get the comic book First Class, and the movie franchise X-Men continues to mess around with the way things play out, the ages of people, and all that different stuff. Like, we're seeing Banshee, we're seeing Willow, who's a future mutant, mm-hmm. and we're seeing all this in the First Class, so that's a little odd.
Yeah, it may come down to just one of those things where maybe they want to put some of the more popular characters in the movie. I don't know. I mean, because again, I'm not really a big X-Men guy. I know enough about it, you know, to know the gist of the story and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would have assumed, obviously, a young Beast, a young Cyclops, a young Archangel, and was there a fourth in the
Jean
original?
Grey. Jean Grey was in the originals, and Iceman, actually.
Yeah, so I would expect those people. I wouldn't expect to see a Wolverine or you know, any a Gambit or anybody like that. But I don't know. We'll see what they throw at us. I guess. I mean, I'm sure that's not the end of their casting of major characters. So
yeah, and I was still torn between whether we were going to see that original comic, that group of five, or if we were going to be, since they have messed with the ages of people. I mean, Iceman, Iceman is a kid, Rogue is a kid, so yeah. Clearly they couldn't do younger versions of them in First Class, but I thought maybe it would be young Cyclops, young Storm, young Jean, maybe even young Wolverine, all those that they've kind of established as their older core for their movie franchise. So who knows? I'm curious to see where that's going to go.
I'm interested in Kevin Bacon as a villain, though. That's pretty cool. I mean, you can never go wrong with some bacon, you know what I mean?
I am too. Any thoughts about which villain we're actually going to see him in the role of?
I wouldn't have the foggiest idea.
Yeah, it is. Kind of, I mean, I would doubt very much that they're going to make him as Magneto, because
I thought that they had already cast somebody as a Magneto, but I can't remember what the guy's name is.
Right, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, so I don't know. Could be. Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
It's up in the air.
I wouldn't even be able to guess.
Next piece of news, Plants vs. Zombies. PopCap released a teaser image, and I'm a big fan of the first game itself, and that's why I'm excited about this. They released a teaser image that doesn't give us a lot of information. All it is a zombie hand holding up a sign. It says, save the date August 2nd, 2010, which I assume is when we're going to get some more information on it. Along with that, on the sign, there's a drawing of a suspension bridge with hearts over it and the letters SF, which I can only assume stand for San Francisco. Mm. So maybe we're getting a location change, and my hope is that this is the announcement, more or less, for a sequel to Plants vs. Zombies.
Cool. And now that's a handheld device game, right? For like the iPhone and stuff like that?
They do have it on the iPhone. You can download it on the PC, which was its original iteration.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, there has been an Xbox arcade version announced to come sometime next year. So maybe this ties into that as well.
Hmm.
Last big piece of news is regarding Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, the game that's coming out on multiple platforms. If you pre-order from Amazon, you get an Iron Spider-Man costume, which is the one from the comic books that Tony Stark built for Peter Parker during the whole Civil War storyline. It was earlier reported that if you pre-order from GameSpot, you get a Cosmic Spidey outfit, which changes from one dimension to the next since the game has four different dimensions. However, the Iron Spider-Man costume will only be usable in the Spider-Man 2099 universe. And the other thing that really bugs me about this, and I've been bothered by the store-exclusive pre-order stuff for a while now,
mm-hmm.
but the way the article is written, and I have seen this done in games in the past, is that means that this Iron Spider-Man costume isn't necessarily an exclusive and you can only get it from pre-ordering from Amazon. It just means that you can unlock it early, and I think that's very misleading.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about that.
I mean, there was a similar thing. I think it's smart of the stores to offer different pre-order bonuses for different games. Mm-hmm. But as a gamer, I only have one console. And if there are things that I can't get because they're on, like, Xbox only offers them as bonuses, or let's say I go buy it at one store, I don't think it's fair that I can't get those other bonuses just because I decided to get it from another store. It seems like they're alienating people.
That's true. I mean, I've seen that done with a lot of stuff where certain every store, like with DVDs and stuff like that, every store has a different kind of bonus item that you can get with the item itself, the item in question. I don't know. I kind of wish it would be universal the whole, you know, all the way around, but. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with a pre-order bonus. If you want to do that to encourage people to pre-order, that's great. But let's keep it universal so that I don't have to feel left out even when I'm already going ahead and pre-ordering the game. So
yeah,
that's pretty much all we got today, which is good. So we got everything in within a half hour, which was our goal, which is always nice.
Can we talk about...
You want to talk about Superman, don't you?
Oh, maybe a little bit.
All right. I hadn't brought it up because I hadn't written an article about it yet, so why don't you fill us in on that one.
Okay. Well, the rumblings as of late, as far as the new Superman movie, which I want to say has a tentative release date in 2012 because of all the rights, the character rights and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The rumblings, as far as the director, it was reported that Chris Columbus was maybe being offered the job. In the beginning, it was stated that Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonathan Nolan, who's mostly known for just writing the movies that Chris directs, there was word that he may be given the directorial position. A lot of people kind of freaked out about that because it would be his first directing job, and a Superman movie is really a pretty huge thing. A news story broke the other day that Jonathan Nolan is pretty much the front runner for the job. Christopher Nolan really wants him to have it, and the Warner Brothers doesn't want to upset their golden boy. So Jonathan Nolan is, from what we are now hearing, the front runner to direct a new Superman movie.
And I'm totally okay with that. I mean,
I'm fine with it too. I mean, the fact his brother's going to be overseeing it.
Right,
so
right.
I trust in the Nolans. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They've done so many things right over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, whether it comes to the movie Memento or what was the magician movie that they just
Prestige?
Did.
Prestige?
Yeah.
Great movie.
And, of course, Batman Begins and Dark Knight and, you know, all the other good stuff that they've been involved with. They just have a really good track record. And, I mean, I know it might be a bit much to place this large of a film on a first-time director, but... Big Brother Chris will be there, so I'm not really all that worried about it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I trust in Nolan, same way. I had issues with Heath Ledger, and then I backed off and said I trust Christopher Nolan's judgment. So if this is his judgment, I'm with him.
I think it's important to be able to trust the guy that has really done no wrong.
Right, yeah. So. If he keeps delivering, then who are we to judge?
Exactly. We've already been told that the main villains in the movie are going to be Lex Luthor and Brainiac.
Awesome.
Which I think is very cool. We also have heard in the most recent news story that basically the gentleman that posted the news story on his website has friends in Warner Brothers, and the person that he spoke to kind of told him all of this stuff. So it's all hearsay, it's all rumor, but they're very interesting rumors. Basically, what we're hearing is that the new movie is not going to be a sequel. It's not going to be a reboot. It's just going to be a Superman movie. It's going to stand on its own.
Ah.
So it won't be related to the other films in any way. It won't have any relation to any previously made form of video media of Superman at all.
I like that.
It's just going to be a standalone film, which means they're not bound by any of the other previous casting decisions. They can go young, they can go old, they can go middle age if they want, they can do whatever they want, basically. And that's something that I'm excited about, because when Bryan Singer made Superman Returns, he cast a kid that looked just like Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
Because he was more or less making a sequel to Superman 1 and 2, which is fine. But now that they're going to go in a different direction, they're going to do their own thing. They're not bound by any of those old traditions that have already been set in place. And I like that idea. The biggest piece of news that they could give us as far as who may be cast in the role, the only thing that they could tell us was that it's a well-known, or it's a popular TV actor that you would never think of in the role, but people will be happy, quote-unquote, when they see him in the tights, if he is in fact the one they go with.
Let the speculation begin!
Exactly. So I'm not going to speculate on who I think it is. I know obviously people are saying Tom Welling, but they can't, that's not...
It's almost too obvious.
Yeah, exactly. The other guy that a lot of people are saying is John Hamm. So if they decided to go a little bit older, they could use him. But at the same time, he has said in the past that he really doesn't want to have anything to do with the Superman movie. Hmm. So you can throw that one out the window as well. So I'm not going to speculate who I think it is, because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, even though it's not really a secret. If you just type in new Superman, if you Google Superman news, it'll come right up.
Oh yeah, there's tons of speculation all over the internet already. So, all right, well, maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode. We'll let it linger for a while. Since this isn't our official next episode, I'm going to repost the same poll question that I did from last episode and put that out there again. That was, what show from the 80s would you like to see adapted into a movie? You can email that into podcast@thegeekgeneration.com, or if you're on Twitter, you can send it to @geekgeneration. Anything you want to plug, Scott?
I have no plugs. Well, actually, I do have a plug. I will be a guest on the Dangerous Memories podcast next week. We will be reviewing the next two movies in the AFI Top 100 that Hector and Todd have been going down the list. And the next two movies are Jaws and North by Northwest. And I know for a fact that Todd and I will both be seeing Inception this weekend, so we'll probably be talking about that too.
Excellent.
And I'm sure we'll be talking about the Superman news and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you give the Dangerous Memories podcast a listen to next week.
Fantastic.
And you can hear my beautiful voice once again.
So yeah, search for Dangerous Memories on iTunes or go to HectorandTodd.com. Those guys have been very good to us and we want to give them the same love back.
Yes.
Again, if you like the show, please tell your friends. We like listeners. Yay, yay. If you want to read about the stories that we talked about today, you can go to www.thegeekgeneration.com for our site. While you're there, you can use the button to subscribe in iTunes, give us a rating, write a review. That increases our visibility and encourages new listeners. There is a new donation button on the site. I am trying to save up to get a new microphone to increase the audio quality of this show here. So if I get up to $100, I will definitely purchase that new microphone. There's a whole little progress bar going on, so feel free to chip in a dollar, $5, whatever you can spare. Questions, comments, insults, you can send to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you want to submit an article as a guest writer, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. There's a link to their site on our site. So thank you, Scott, for joining me for this abbreviated episode on such short notice. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, and until next time, people, geek out.